members. Please indicate their presence by voting. Any member failed to vote, will the clerk please announce the totals?
25 members present.
The invocation today, Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, Representative Rice is excused from a call of the House today. Representative Nicolai, who was previously excused from a call of the House today, is present.
The invocation today is by the Major Virginia Gilman, the Salvation Army. Members, please rise.
Shall we pray? Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind, in purer lives thy service find, in deeper reverence praise. Lord, we realize today how much we need to rely on your wisdom, for it far exceeds ours. And we thank you that you have promised to give us your wisdom. All we need to do is ask in faith, believing that you will grant our request. We thank you, too, that the wisdom that comes from you is pure and peace-loving, considerate and impartial and sincere. Lord, you know the difficult decisions that we are called upon to make, and you know that it's impossible to please all of the people all of the time. You know the pressures that our constituents place upon us regarding the issues that we must deal with, and you know the dilemmas that we often find ourselves in. And so we pray for an extra measure of your wisdom and understanding. We ask for your guidance, and we ask for the strength of character to act and to do what we know is right and in the best interests of the majority of the people we represent. Thank you, Lord, for your patience with us, and thank you for the help you give us day by day. Thank you for watching over us as we go about our appointed tasks. May the words of the poet John Greenleaf Whittier be our prayer today. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Representative Porter, would you please lead us in the pledge? Representative Menard.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. That the prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread upon the journal. This brings us down to certification of the journal. Will the clerk please certify us to the correctness of the journal for the previous legislative days?
I certify as correctness of the journal for the 61st, 62nd, and 63rd legislative days.
Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House journals as certified by the Chief Clerk be approved.
Without objections, the journal will be approved as certified to the Chief Clerk. This brings us down to introduction of guests. We have guests to be introduced. Representative Sanders.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I have four young ladies in the Taylor Gallery I'd like to introduce, but before I do, Madam Speaker, I'd like to ask the members' indulgence. For reasons that I don't understand, these ladies are under the impression that I have a lot of influence down here. And so as not to disappoint them, I would ask everyone to please watch the board for how I vote and vote likewise, just to help me out. I'd like to introduce my wife, Ethel Sanders, if they'll stand as I call them. My daughter, Christy Lee. I'll get them all at once. Thanks, Jerry. Our good friend, Miss Isabel White, and my daughter's good friend, Iva Walker.
Additional guests to be introduced at this time. Madam Minority Whip.
Thank you very much. Madam Speaker, I have in the Paradise Gallery a person that's down with the ARCO people today, and her name is Patricia Gatrix. Would you please say? It's Pamela, I'm sorry, not Patricia, Pamela. We're glad to have you with us. Would you please stand?
Representative Carney, you're seeking the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I have a couple of young men visiting us today from the Wasilla area. They're also acting as guest pages. On my left over here is Jed Mathis, and on my right is Jerry Thone. Would you please help me welcome him?
Madam Majority Leader.
It gives me great pleasure today to introduce Louis Jolson from Homer. He's the husband of my staff person, Linda Jolson, from the Taylor Gallery.
Representative Willis, you were seeking the floor.
Madam Speaker, I have a young constituent down from Eagle River. She's an eighth grader in the Greening Middle School. She wants to become an aeronautical engineer. Would you help me welcome Jackie Fedoroff?
Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. We have a constituent down from the valley, Representative Menard, Carney, and I. She's the director of the EMS at Valley Hospital, and her name is Janet Smalley. Dr. Smalley.
Representative Olberg.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I have two constituents in the Taylor Gallery down from Cordova. If they'll stand as I recognize them, and we can applaud once. Patsy Fisher, owner with her family and operator of Cordova Outboard and a member of the Cordova City Council, and Ruth Steele, the general manager of the Cordova Telephone Cordova Telephone Cooperative.
Representative Nordland, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In the Paratrovich Gallery, I have a constituent down here who is a student at UAA. He's down here on spring break. His name is Bruce Kilpatrick. He's also joined by a friend of his who's actually a constituent of Representative Parnell's. His name is Tim Cooper. And sitting with them is a former staff person to this body, Mr. Andy Hemingway.
Representative Tui, under introduction of guests.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In the Paratovich Gallery, would you please welcome a very good friend of Representative Bundy and a young woman who spends her entire year in the kindergarten and has been asked not to be introduced by her husband, Angeline Bundy.
Additional guests to be introduced at this time. There being none, messages from the governor.
I have none, Madam Speaker.
Messages from the other body.
I have none, Madam Speaker.
Communications.
We received the following special audit reports. Alaska Code Revision Commission, January 10, 1994. Department of Commerce and Economic Development. Board of Dental Examiners, February 5, 1994. Department of Environmental Conservation, Oil and Hazardous Substance Release Response on January 10, 1994. I have no further communications, Madam Speaker.
Madam Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would move at this time that we take up reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 54.
Madam Minority Leader, would you mind holding it till we just get through with reports of standing committees?
That's fine.
Thank you. Reports of standing committees.
The Resources Committee has considered House Joint Resolution Number 59, Wanton Waste of Fish, North Pacific, Bering Sea, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Joint Resolution 59, Fish, with the same title, recommending due pass Hudson, Carney, Green, James, Finkelstein, Davies, Mulder, Bundy, Williams. The report was signed by Williams Chairman. HJR 59 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 369, State Leases and Lease Purchasing Financing, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 369, State Affairs, with the same title, recommending due pass VZ Cott, Sanders, G. Davis. No recommendation, Olberg. 3-0 fiscal notes were attached. The report was signed by VZ. Chairman, HB 369, has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 447, Establish a Fognic Island State Park, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 447 Resources with the same title, recommending due pass Hudson, Carney, James, Finkelstein, Davies, Mulder, Bundy, Williams, Green. As fiscal note was attached, the report was signed by Williams. Chairman HB 447 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 450, Investment Pools for Public Entities, recommending Dupass, Veazey, Sanders, G. Davis, Olberg, no recommendation, Cott. A zero fiscal note was attached. The report was signed by Veazey. Chairman HB 450 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 494, Alaska Pension Investment Authority, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 494, State Affairs, with the same title, recommending due pass, Veazey, Sanders, G. Davis, B. Davis, no recommendation, Cott, Olberg. A fiscal note and a zero fiscal note were attached. The report was signed by Veazey Chairman. HB 494 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 512, Court Cost Attorney Fees Prevailing Party, recommending due pass, Veazey, Cott, Sanders, G. Davis, Olberg. No recommendation, B. Davis. 2-0 fiscal notes were attached. The report was signed by Cott Vice Chair. HB 512 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Community Regional Affairs Committee has considered CS for Senate Bill 33, Finance Grants for Local Emergency Planning. They attach a House Community Regional Affairs Committee letter of intent. The report was signed by Dupass, Tui. No recommendation, Bundy, Williams, Olberg, Sanders. Amend, Davies, Willis. The report was signed by Olberg Chairman. CSSB 333, Finn, has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Madam Speaker.
Madam Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'll replace my motion that we take up Senate Bill 54 at this time, and I'd like to place a call on the House.
House, please come back to order. Prior to the time we stood at ease, the minority leader asked to take up reconsideration. That reconsideration was taken up last Wednesday. It was held to Friday's calendar. Friday, we held it as an accommodation till Monday's calendar. The bill is on the calendar. The reconsideration will not be before us or the third reading of the bill until we get to that point on the calendar. Clerk, please continue with reports of special committees.
I have none, Madam Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Virginia Eppenshade, Smoky Bay Seroptimist Women Helping Women Award by Representative Phillips. Honoring Layton and Lou Bennett by Representative Mackey, Senator Zara. Honoring Chrisia Evanoff by Senator Jacko and Representative...
Would you hold just a moment? Minority Leader placed a call on the House. One of our members exited the door. For the pages, please find the member and bring him back. Unless the Minority Leader would like to lift that call. Minority Leader does not wish to lift the call on the House. Would the clerk please continue?
Honoring Carissa Evanoff by Senator Jacko, Representative Moses. Honoring Sergeant David Lancaster and Robert Brantley by Senator Lehman. Honoring annual EMS awards recipients by Senator Lehman, Representative Barnes. In memoriam, Nina Agnes Lai by Senator Adams, Representatives McLean and Foster. In memoriam, Goody Winther by Senator Taylor. I have no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Bring us down introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills. With
I have none, Madam Speaker.
Let's bring us consideration of the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item appearing on today's calendar? Representative House. Brown, you're seeking the floor.
Can we have an at ease, please?
House standing. Come back to order. Prior to the time we stood at ease, and before we got down to reading the next item on the calendar, the Minority Leader had placed a calling on the House on House Bill 54. House Bill 54 is on the calendar. So every item that is on the calendar is under the call of the House. To the point we get down to House Bill 54, unless the Minority Leader will wish to lift that call. Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The way the rules address that is if there's a motion, a call may be placed on the House on a motion. There is no motion before the House at this time. Technically, I guess we have in the past called the House on the whole calendar. I think that's been a violation of the rules. And unless you're going to place it on every motion that comes before us. At that particular time, I maintain that there's not a call in the House unless there's a specific motion which it calls place.
I asked the minority leader if she wished to lift the call. I ask her again, do you wish to lift the call? She does not. Clerk, please read. Representative Navarro.
In that case, then, when House Bill 54 is up and a motion is made on 54, that bill is under a call. That does not mean that every other bill that's on the calendar up until that point is under a call.
I understand what you're saying, Representative Navarro, completely. However, I'm interpreting the motion made by the minority leader, since she does not wish to lift the call, as being on the calendar. Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I've had a cup of tea and a half a glass of water. May I be excused for a couple of minutes?
Would the page please accompany Representative Davidson to the men's room? Clerk, please read the first item appearing on today's calendar.
House Bill 199 by the House Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, entitled an act providing for oil and gas exploration licenses and oil and gas leases in certain areas of the state and providing for an effective date.
Madam Speaker.
Representative Mackey.
Do I detect a little tension in the air today?
Gee, I don't know. I'm feeling fine myself. How are you feeling?
Good.
Good. I did miss your good morning this morning, though. Would the clerk continue, please?
The House Special Committee on Oil and Gas has considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 199, Oil and Gas, with the new title, recommending do pass G. Davis, Cott, Green, no recommendation, Olberg, and Sitton. A zero fiscal note was attached. The report was signed by Green Chairman. The Resources Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 199, ONG, with the new title, recommending do pass Williams, Green, Mulder, Hudson, Bundy. No recommendation, Carney, James, Amend, Davies. The report was signed by Hudson, Vice Chairman. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 199, ONG, with the new title, recommending do pass Larson, Hanley, Martin, Parnell, Terrio, Foster, McLean, Amend, Brown. The report was signed by McLean and Larson. Co-chairs, I have one committee substitute on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Oil and Gas Committee substitute with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Oil and Gas CS is before us. Clerk, I have amendments upon her desk.
Yes, Madam Speaker. Amendment number one by Representative Brown to page 2, line 23.
Representative Brown.
Could we stand at ease while the amendment is distributed?
I'll stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Prior to the time that we stood at ease, the clerk had read the First Amendment. Representative Brown, you move the amendment.
I do, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number one.
There is objection. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I have looked very carefully at this bill, and I intend to offer a number of amendments today. I believe this bill is one of the most significant and far-reaching pieces of legislation that we've considered in this body this year. After reviewing and looking very carefully at this bill, Madam Speaker, I've become quite concerned about...
Are you speaking to the amendment, Representative Brown?
I'm speaking to a motion that I'm about to make, Madam Speaker, which is that the bill and all amendments be returned to the Finance Committee for additional work.
The House is under the call of the House. There is a motion pending. You've moved the previous motion. Now, are you amending it, or do you wish to withdraw moving the first, your motion to withdraw? On the first, moving the First Amendment. There's two motions on the floor.
Is it not appropriate to say the bill and all pending amendments to be referred?
That's fine.
And
there is objection. The question before the body is, shall this bill and all pending amendments be returned to the Finance Committee? Representative Davidson, you're seeking the floor.
Point of inquiry, Madam Speaker. Is this a debatable motion?
Well, it's a procedural vote. If you wish to debate it, I'll allow you a little leeway as to why it should go to the Finance Committee.
Madam Speaker, I would certainly concur with the remarks of the former speaker. In that person, I think that we have one who knows the bill here before us because of expertise as well as experience in knowing how these matters work for the maximum benefit of our state. And if we're going to give away the farm in such big chunks, I think it is important that the public have absolutely maximum opportunity to ensure their input. So I would request that the motion be a yes vote to allow the members of the Finance Committee the opportunity to deal with these amendments in a way that would allow for that maximum public input, as well as improve a bill that may, it seems to me, in its present form, put the state of Alaska at great disadvantage as far as controlling our public resources. So again, Madam Speaker, I appreciate the leeway and would request that members see the importance of returning this bill back to finance to ensure a bill that does not indenture Alaskans for many, many years to come. Thank you.
Oh, my. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I don't know how many amendments there are. 13, I just heard. I wonder how many of them the Finance Committee has already considered and rejected. Maybe the sponsor of the amendments could tell us whether we want to rehash old stuff or whether something new is being offered.
Representative Brown?
With one exception, it's all new, Madam Speaker.
Well, here's what we're going to do. We are going to stand at ease until 5 o'clock. We're under the call of the House. Members will be restricted to the Capitol building for the purposes of holding their committee meetings. We'll stand at ease.
Madam Speaker.
That we be allowed to move back up the calendar to introduction of guests. If there is no objection, we'll move back up the calendar to introduction of guests. There being no objection, Representative Martin, you have the floor.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. It's been a long day, and I'm surprised that some of our guests from out of town still want to watch the legislature in action. And I have a very special friend that came down to see us with the bridge, Ms. Robin Cole from District 14.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I also have someone down with the bridge campaign that's in District 21, Diane Santos. DeSantos, would you please stand and help us welcome her.
Madam Speaker, I have one constituent that's down with the Building Bridges campaign. Her name is Gladys Meacock in the Taylor Gallery.
Representative Finkelstein, under introduction of guest.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I had a constituent from the Building Bridges campaign, Dorothy Peavy.
Additional guests to be introduced at this time. Being none, brings Representative Parnell.
Sorry, Madam Speaker. I don't know if I missed it or not, but I would like to introduce a person that I was arguing whether or not they belonged, not arguing, but considering whether they belonged in my district or in Representative Nordland's district, but I would like to introduce Sylvia Berg in the Taylor Gallery. And I'm happy to claim her in my district.
Further guests to be introduced at this time. There being none, this brings us back down the calendar to debate on amendment number one. Mr. Sergeant at Arms, has the call been satisfied? Call is satisfied. Representative Davidson, you're seeking the floor.
Yes, ma'am. Madam Speaker, I rise in support of the measure before us.
And because we were here such a long time ago, I just would like to remind this body that I would urge those of us who are thinking of voting no to please vote yes. We simply want to try to make a bill that is unacceptable, more acceptable, a bill that in fact would perhaps save our state some opportunities in the future. And I would remind my colleagues that people who are supporting this move and who have come up and worked hard on this issue are the very people who have in fact had the experience of running the division of oil and gas. So I think it would behoove us to pay attention to some of these amendments, and it could more justly and more effectively and perhaps efficiently be done in the House Finance Committee. So I would urge my colleagues to please push the green button.
The question before this body is, shall Committee Substitute House Bill 199, Oil and Gas, be returned to the Finance Committee with all pending amendments? I'm reminding the body that the bill we have before us did come out of the Finance Committee. Representative Larson.
May we stand at ease?
How standing. Representative Grusendorf, you're seeking the floor.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker. The motion before the body here is to return the bill back to the Finance Committee. And every once in a while, Madam Speaker, we have what we call a sleeper, a bill that all of a sudden rises the same magnitude as, let's say, the CREMO plan. Now, the CREMO plan, of course, has a lot of merit, as does this bill have a lot of merit. But at the same time, realizing the magnitudes of what this does, perhaps the Finance Committee should take another look at it.
State your point, Representative Easy.
Mason's Manual 388, Madam Speaker. We're not debating the bill. We're merely debating whether or not it should be referred back to committee.
Madam Speaker, what exactly did I say?
Please proceed, Representative Grusendorf.
What I said was that it should be returned to the Rules Committee because of the magnitude...
To the Rules or to the Finance?
To the Finance Committee. To the Finance Committee because of it's a sleeper bill that all of a sudden has rise to great importance.
Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just want to rise under personal privilege, if I may.
You have the floor, Representative.
No, I'm constantly listening to the member from North Pole rise on point of order and interrupting speakers when there's absolutely no merit to what he's saying most of the time. Can you have a talk with him about that? I think it's pretty embarrassing.
That's not a personal privilege, and you're out of line. Representative Cott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to associate my comments with a member from District 6, however I can't. Earlier he mentioned that the public has not had an opportunity to comment on this particular bill. Madam Speaker, this bill was first entertained by the Oil and Gas Committee in the House March 22nd. It is my idea here that the public has in fact had a number of opportunities to comment on this particular piece of legislation. It's been almost a year. I think it's time to move it on to bigger and better things. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
There's additional debate on whether or not this bill should be returned to the Finance Committee. Representative Davidson, tonight we have a lot of business before us, and we will invoke Section 102 of Mason's. We're not going to be repetitive tonight. You have the floor, Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I heard reference made to the representative from District 6. And his comments, and of course that's me. And frankly, I do not think that the public has had ample opportunity to have input on these amendments that are being passed out on our desk. And I think, in fact, it's not going to be bigger and better things that we're going to be moving this bill on to, but rather we're going to be, if we do not send it back to finance, the public is going to be shut out of this one altogether. So I would reconsider, I would ask my colleagues to reconsider and push the green button.
Representative Davidson, I think that to say the Finance Committee did not do its work and hold public hearings probably is out of line. Is there additional debate before this body? Being none, the question before the body is shall. Committee substitute House Bill 199, Oil and Gas, and all pending amendments be returned to the Finance Committee. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
17 yeas, 23 nays.
And so, committee substitute House Bill 199 is failed to be returned to the Finance Committee. Would the clerk please read? As I recall, there was an amendment. Would you go back and please read amendment number one again?
Amendment number one by Representative Brown to page 2, line 23.
Representative Brown.
I'll move amendment number one.
Objection. There is objection. You have the floor, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, amendment number one would make clear that the existing statutory provision that provides restrictions on surface entry in the offshore lands of Bristol Bay, that those same restrictions will apply to any exploration licenses that would be granted under this bill. I think it's a straightforward amendment. We're just trying to carry forward those same restrictions that have previously been debated and put into law for the protection of the resources in Bristol Bay. And there was some discussion on this in the Finance Committee. We considered a different approach to addressing this problem. In fact, we were informed by the Deputy Director of the Division of Oil and Gas that this was their intention, but upon further review of the statute and the bill, I do not believe this is covered, and I think this is a clarifying amendment and would urge the body's support for it.
Additional debate on amendment number one. Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in support of this particular amendment. I know that the Bristol Bay offshore oil and gas exploration is an issue that many of us are concerned about. As most people know, Bristol Bay is some of the richest salmon grounds in the whole state. I know there are others, but certainly that area, the Bristol Bay Fisheries Reserve, needs to be protected. And I know that sponsors, or at least backers of this particular bill, don't have any heartburn with this particular amendment. As this is a very good amendment, and simply would just require that the legislature approve any oil and gas discovery in the Bristol Bay area, which I don't think is unreasonable, and certainly would be consistent with protecting that area. I'd urge members to vote yes on this amendment.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would just like to rise in support of the amendment. Also, I think on a day when the newspapers carrying the article that all salmon fisheries in offshore Oregon and Washington have been shut down because of overdevelopment, among other things, I think it should give us pause to continue our policy of protection of this particular most important fishery of the state of Alaska. So I think this is indeed a clarifying amendment, but I think it's extremely important that we make it clear.
Representative Hudson.
Very brief at ease, please.
House Stand at ease, Gail. House, come back to order. Is the objection to amendment number one maintained? Being no objection, amendment number one has been adopted. The clerk, please read the next amendment appearing before her.
Amendment number two by Representative Brown to page 11, lines 26 and 28 through 28.
Representative Brown.
I move amendment number two.
Objection. There is objection. You have the floor, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. If the members would turn to page 11 of the bill, and in section 7 of that provision, additional areas are excluded from the application of this new law setting up a concession licensing system. The bill provides earlier that the basically area north of the Umiak baseline on the North Slope and the area in Cook Inlet is not available for exploration licensing, and then in Section 7 they go on to exempt some of the currently pending sales on the competitive oil and gas leasing program. This amendment would exempt all the sales that are currently pending in the oil and gas leasing program. Madam Speaker, my reason for proposing this is that it is stated several times by the sponsor of the bill and by others that there is no intention to harm or downgrade the competitive leasing program. But if we allow all the sales that are on the program now, which indicate that some industry interest has been expressed in them, to be supplanted by this abbreviated, truncated new program we're setting up, then I don't believe it would be at all accurate to say we wouldn't be impacting the competitive leasing program. Madam Speaker, one of the fundamental premises of our oil and gas leasing program is that we will have an orderly process where all interested companies know in advance what acreage is going to be offered, and they have the opportunity to acquire information and data, seismic data, to evaluate the prospectiveness of an area that will be offered by oil and competitive leasing under the oil and gas leasing program. This bill changes that process significantly, and I just don't feel that we ought to take or allow sales that are now scheduled to be shifted off that competitive leasing program and covered under this new exploration licensing system. So I'd urge your support for amendment number 2.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The wording that's included in amendment 2 says any area proposed for a competitive oil and gas lease sale. That's not necessarily then including just those leases or areas, lease sales that might be on an existing 5-year program. The intent here is to not have competitive problems between those that are looked at by the industry on a long forward planning program. When you consider the amount of money that the oil industry has to put up in order to even look at an area, this impacts their budgetary process just like we are going through right now. And when you vary that process at the discretion of something that's not forewarned, in other words, the 5-year leasing program has a reason behind it. It's not only to look at the environmental concerns, it's also to help the industry prepare for these things. By having this as suggested in Amendment 2, you disrupt that. And so for that and several other reasons, I would recommend strongly that you do not approve this amendment.
Representative Davies, you were seeking the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Well, I would rise in support of this amendment for the reason that the whole point of this of House Bill 99, as I read it, is to encourage new exploration at frontier areas that otherwise wouldn't be on the lease agenda. And it seems like this is an obvious contradiction to that fundamental precept of the House Bill 99. If these sales 80, 87, 88 and similar sales are explicitly on the 5-year plan, then they're clearly don't meet that test of being not frontier areas that otherwise wouldn't be leased. So I just think that this is making the bill self-consistent. If you leave these in here, it's internally inconsistent.
Representative Grusendorf.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker. Something that was mentioned here by not the previous speaker, but the one before him, mentioned the fact that oil companies have spent a lot of money in preparing for and getting ready for the scheduled lease sale in this 5-year period, which leads me to believe that they have spent a lot of their resources and time in preparation for it. Thus, it probably would be unfair for us to kick that out from under them and throw it under a licensing plan. We're talking about up to 800 square miles. So if we have big and small companies already out there that are preparing for that, where does that leave them?
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think there was a misstatement of what the amendment does by the chairman of the Oil and Gas Committee, and I'd like for members to look carefully at this. We're not saying any land that might ever be offered. We're saying land that is now delineated and part of this document, the five-year oil and gas leasing program. So it would read, in addition to the area designated in Section 2, these provisions do not apply to land within any area proposed for competitive oil and gas lease sale that was delineated in the five-year oil and gas leasing program prepared by the DNR and dated January 93, which is the most current program. So I don't agree that this amendment would be disruptive. I think this amendment will protect the orderly competitive process that's now in place for the lands that have been already scheduled for competitive leasing.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just a question, which I think is central to this bill and to this amendment, is if anyone can explain, since this five-year oil and gas leasing program, it's based on industry interest. Those areas that have the highest interest from industry, those are factored in when DNR makes a determination as to what gets into the leasing program. Since it's part of that already, and since that represents industry interest, how could we justify including those same areas in this new program? I think the confusion in the point previously made before sort of obscured that point, but basically, I haven't heard an answer yet to that question.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. That's not quite, the previous speaker was not quite right in that there have been lease sales offered by the Department of Natural Resources and received no bids. So it's not necessarily that the areas that are of interest to the industry where they might be spending exploratory dollars are the only leases that come up, lease sales that come up.
Additional debate on amendment number 2. Being none, members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote, will the clerk please tally the board?
14 yeas, 26 nays.
And so, amendment number 2 has failed to be adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment appearing upon her desk.
Amendment number 3 by Representative Brown to page 6, lines 29 through 30.
Representative Brown.
I move amendment number 3.
Okay. There is objection. You have the floor, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Amendment number 3 addresses what I think is a weakness in this bill. And I'm almost tempted to say if you guys adopt this amendment, I'll dispense with the rest of them. This amendment would go a long way toward curing what I fear is a real problem with this bill, and the reason for that is that it sets up a mandatory activity that the commissioner must do and begins a process without having adequate resources for the department to respond to it. The members may be aware that there is a zero fiscal note attached to this legislation, in spite of the fact that it does set up a number of mandatory and complicated, complex activities that the department must do. What we have in this bill is a new process where the department once a year will be obligated to accept proposals from companies that want concessions, very large concessions that will last for long periods of time. The commissioner will then be obligated to evaluate those in 30 days and, unless it's turned down, proceed on with a process that's likely to lead to a concession license being issued. Madam Speaker, I would feel a lot better about this if the decision to enter into that activity were made by the department in a way that allowed them to be in control more of it than is going to be the case if we have a mandatory one-year window or a window once a year where unsolicited proposals will come in and trigger activity. The size of the land that is proposed to be included in these concessions, and the terms under which they're proposed to be leased is a big, big departure from how we currently provide oil and gas rights. I think it's certainly going to be difficult, if not impossible, for the same level of scrutiny to take place in this abbreviated period. And I think that we need to delete this sentence and allow the process to function more at the discretion of the department. And I think it is reasonable that we make that conversion to essentially permanently hold that acreage contingent upon discovery as opposed to fulfillment of a work commitment.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in opposition to this amendment, and I would remind the body that it was well number 13 in Prudhoe Bay that finally ushered in the wealth that we have been able to enjoy the last 17 years. Had this type of restriction been involved in a license area such as might cover Prudhoe Bay, we would still be depending on what we got out of Cook Inlet. My point is that it's conceivable, very conceivable, and history repeats this on several occasions, that while a company is out looking around in a license area, they may find structure, they may find traps that are not conducive to paying quantities as required here, but they may be of enough interest to continue. And after they have completed their initial obligation to the state, it would behoove the state to allow that company to continue to look around, such as they did at Prudhoe Bay, because if you say that if you don't find commercial quantities by the time this license period is up, you lose. I think, again, this is a disincentive, has been reworked and reworked by members of the oil industry, who are the ones that are going to perhaps utilize this, perhaps not, but at least it's an incentive that actually could be workable and could be included in the budget forecasting. To put this restriction, I think, unfairly prohibits companies from investing the large amounts of money that will be required to adequately look in the areas that we're talking about.
Additional debate being done, members may proceed to vote. If any member fail to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
6 yeas, 34 nays.
And so, amendment number 7 has failed to be adopted by the House. Clerk, have additional amendments upon her desk.
Amendment number 8 by Representative Brown to page 8, line 27.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 8.
Yes. There is objection, Representative Brown. You have the floor.
Thank you. Madam Speaker, if the members would look at page 8, what I'm attempting to amend here is the section that deals with the lease that a person could convert to once they meet the terms of the work commitment under the license. And this lease has to be determined and set out at the time the initial license is issued. And right now, this language provides that this lease has to be conditioned on a royalty of not less than 12.5% of production. Madam Speaker, in the competitive leasing program, and that's in 3805-180F, which if the members want to look at that, it's in section 5 of the bill on page 10, is a list of the bidding methods that the commissioner can choose from in deciding how to offer oil and gas lands for lease. I believe it is appropriate that we keep all the tools in the toolbox, so to speak, available to the commissioner when setting up the terms of that lease. which is the basis on which the state's future income is going to be determined. There was some testimony in committee that indicated that the department thought that, well, maybe they could do this anyway, and perhaps they can under the language on page 9, lines 1 and 2, is subject to other conditions and obligations, that the commissioner could impose other conditions and obligations. I think it would be best to expressly state that we wish to maintain all the potential bidding methods as options for the commissioner in setting the monetary terms of these leases. And again, that would be specified up front before the licensee signs up for this package. That company will know what the downstream conversion requirements and terms are. These are the most critical terms in establishing what the state's future income would be. And given, well, I think we need to adopt this amendment.
Representative Green.
Madam Speaker, we have really begun to go asunder. Now, think for a moment. This is the situation that is being proposed, that a company comes in and gets a license and spends how many billions of dollars to find something, and then it wants to convert to a lease, and then the state strikes and says, oh, by the way, we're going to charge you 50% royalty, and we're going to do all these wonderful things. There isn't anybody who would exercise this incentive program, because it's a complete disincentive to say that at the time, if you're successful, we're really going to gouge you guys. I would vehemently plead with you to say no, not only no, but heck no.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think that if you look on page 9, the commissioner may offer additional incentives in reducing the amount payable. And I also think that in certain cases where under the exploration licensing, we don't have any idea what's out there. We're trying to encourage finding out what's out there. And if there is another Prudhoe Bay out there somewhere, that they're likely, it likely or might be in the best interest of the state to allow for or to provide for that potential, and maybe a bonus would be in the state's best interest at that time as a provision of tying up what potentially could be billions of dollars to the industry and to the state legitimately. It might in fact be in the state's best interest. I don't know, maybe there's a way to tie it up so that it there's some known amount that it can't exceed, but it would seem that if there is something out there that is a very major find, that the state also ought to share, since it's a common property resource held in trust for all the citizens of the state, it might be in our interest also to reserve some ability to, I guess, capture some of that wealth.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. These various types of leasing have been thought of and tried on occasion, and what happens is that you throw a party and nobody comes. There is a net profits lease, for example, in the Endicott unit, but by and large, when you get to alternate leasing that may be even there, not used very much in the lower 48, the one that draws the most attention is the bonus bid with a fixed royalty. Sliding scale royalties, net profits leasing, all these things have been thought of and tried and introduced, but they're not effective up here. We got to remember that we are not in Los Angeles Harbor or New York City. We're in a remote area, and so we have to make it an incentive worthwhile for people to come up and spend billions of dollars as they have in Prudhoe Bay, 16 or 17, the last count. So I would suggest to you that if we were to find another Prudhoe Bay, If you look back through the information that was submitted with this bill as it progressed to the floor, there was a pie chart included. And in that pie chart, it showed that some 90-plus percent of the entire revenue that the state has received from the oil industry to date is from royalty and severance taxes rather than any kind of spurious bonus that might be indicated at the time of conversion. But I still maintain that to have a disincentive that the industry would not be aware of, in effect changing the rules of the game after discovery, would mean nobody's going to play this game. I would certainly suggest that you vote no.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would strongly disagree with the comments of the prior speaker. If he would look on page 7 of the bill at lines 21 through 24, you'll see that the commissioner has to say at the time the license is issued what the lease will be. It's completely wrong to say that we're going to sock it to you later after you've made a discovery, we're going to change the rules in the middle of the game. No, and this amendment has nothing, doesn't in any way do that. What this amendment would do was say before the lessee enters into that agreement with us, or at least we're calling them the licensee now, before that licensee accepts those obligations, the commissioner's got to provide the lease form and say what the monetary terms of compensation are. So what the prior speaker said is completely wrong and And another thing, Madam Speaker, net profit share leases, today we have 70 of them. They cover 310,000 acres. I would point out it may be true that most of our income from oil overall has come from royalty and taxes, but we have gotten $1.8 billion from our competitive lease sales during the time that they've been held. It certainly would be a possibility and appropriate for the commissioner to consider these alternative bidding or alternative leasing methods when setting up the terms of this lease. I think the net profit share leasing provisions in particular are calculated to give credit for risk, and those tools need to be available. This amendment does not in any way come in and change the rules after the game is over. It's just referencing explicitly these other terms that are listed in the leasing statute.
Additional debate? Being none, members may proceed to vote. If any member failed to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? If any member wish to change their vote, would the clerk please tally the board?
13 yeas, 27 nays.
And so, amendment number 8 has failed to be adopted by the House. Clerk, have additional amendments upon her desk.
Amendment number 9 by Representative Brown, page 11, lines 11 through 23.
Representative Brown.
I would move amendment number 9.
There is objection. Representative Brown, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Amendment number 9 would remove the language on page 11 of the bill, and what it's referencing here is the section that governs public notice of best interest findings that are given by the department for all kinds of activities where a best interest finding is required and for other activities. It deals with providing notice for a decision by the Department of Natural Resources under 3805035E, which is the so-called best interest of the state finding that a commissioner has to make before they can make a disposal of interest in state land or resources. Madam Speaker, we had some discussion in committee. Is the call lifted?
No, they're going to the room during debate.
Well,
I gave them permission.
Okay, I'd really like for all members to hear the debate, so
they need to go to the bathroom.
Can we have an Eddie's, please?
I'll stand Eddie's. We'll take a 10-minute break. It'll be to the second floor. Well, it's about that time again. Representative Brown, are you ready to continue your debate?
Madam Speaker, speaking to Amendment Number 9, the notice provision that is the subject of Section 6 of this bill comes into effect any time that a decision is made under the best interest finding in 3805.035, and that appears, that language, on line 17, to which we are adding the provisions of this, the new parts of this law, sections 132 through 134. And this amendment would just take that out and leave this unamended, and therefore this section drops out of the bill. My reason for proposing that, Madam Speaker, is I think that it's covered in the place where it's appropriate to give notice already. On page 7, at line 15, we specifically require the commissioner to do this best interest finding under the licensing process. The question then comes up, once we've made that disposal of interest in land and resources, what are we going to have a public comment on? There's really no discretion, as I read it, down the road, once the company has fulfilled that requirement of their initial license, there's really no point in giving another notice under 945, because there wouldn't be anything that the commissioner could change or do differently. And I think that's how this is intended to work. We want the commissioner, in the first instance, when they're issuing that initial license, that's the critical decision, that's the disposal of interest, that's where the public notice needs to be, and we don't need this reference here that I'm proposing to take out. I think it really does clutter up this statute and somewhat throw into question, well, you know, what else? And so I guess I would just ask, what is the point in having another notice other than the one that's already provided under the licensing program? What would the public comment on if we had this notice at the time of, say, conversion to lease?
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. There is still a need, because of the size of the license area, that certain restrictions, certain requirements may be given at the time the license is granted. But then, following a discovery in a certain portion of that area, it is in the interest of the state and certainly in the public to have another response, because there could be additional restrictions and covenants given to a specific area, which couldn't be imposed before the discovery is made. So I think this section is needed, and I suggest that you vote no on this amendment.
Representative Brown.
I would suggest that those additional conditions and so forth are going to come up in permits, and that really there isn't any more. Once the disposal is made, it doesn't make sense to me that we have more going through of this public notice section. So I would recommend that we adopt this amendment.
Further debate, Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This discussion here sort of focuses on one of the aspects of this bill that's the most troubling to me, and I'm not quite sure how to remedy it, but I just want to put my concern on the record here, and that is that we're going to get into the same kind of a problem here that we have been with the regular leasing program, that is, and this question of how should we phase the development, you know, at what point do we do public notice on the various decisions that the commissioner makes. And here's the scenario that concerns me, is that we have a very large license area that comes up. The commissioner does a public interest finding, does all these things for the license. And then we go, and so then there's exploration, or, you know, work that goes on, and then perhaps something's found later on down the... And the testimony that we had in our committee and resources was that all the pertinent public interest findings were done at the time of the license. Then we go to the situation that we're just talking about now, where we're going to convert this over to a lease. Particular watersheds or, you know, something else may be at risk, and so there'll be additional debate. But we will be so far down the road, so much money and time and energy have been expended by the company, that will be the exploration company, that will be between a rock and a hard spot. That the argument will be, well, we've got to either grant this lease because of this, or we're going to have to buy it back, and we're going to be back in the same kind of debate that we're right now in with lease sale 78. What the department is saying is that we can't do all the detailed findings at the outset, but then when we get to the end, the companies are going to say, but you didn't tell us at the beginning that these were going to be constraints. So I don't know what the answer to this is, but I don't see, I guess it's just part of the public process here that seems not very well defined and is a little bit troubling.
Further debate? Being none, members may proceed to vote. Any member failed to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change their vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
13 yeas, 27 nays.
And so, amendment number 9 is spelled to be adopted. Clerk have additional amendments upon her desk.
Amendment number 10 by Representative Brown, page 3, lines 4 through 9.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 10.
There is objection. You have the floor, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This amendment would remove the language on page 3, subsection C, that requires the commissioner to make preliminary written determinations on what land is going to be subject to this concession licensing program. My concern about this requirement is that I don't think it's going to be very easy for the commissioner or the staff that will carry this out to know in a presumably condensed time frame, if we ever want to get this thing off the ground, what lands should or should not be part of it. And I think that we will be opening up areas that perhaps should not be, and leading people by making some specific affirmative finding that these lands are subject to that without doing the proper review. And again, I'd point out there's no resources attached to this bill, no funding to be able to carry it out. Once you've gone through that sort of pro forma finding that the commissioner would have to do in order to determine what lands were open to this, there would then be it would then be even more difficult for the commissioner not to proceed with it. So I think given the complexity of these land management designations, that this is a step that could be eliminated without a serious effect on the program. And then the evaluation would be done after the people come in under this window, as opposed to at the front end, which adds another step. And depending on how detailed and what kind of evaluation you did, could get very involved. It's not clear to me what other laws or other things might come into this determination under subsection C, like, for example, the coastal management law, and whether that's required, or what other laws might have to be taken into account when you're considering all the land in the whole state of Alaska. Members are probably aware that these land use determinations, when we're going to classify land for various purposes, we have long involved planning processes that the public gets involved in. They take a long time, and they result in good plans that then people can go forward and use with confidence in making development proposals and so forth. So I guess, Madam Speaker, in summary, I just say I don't really believe that this provision is necessary for this program to work. I think it could unnecessarily complicate the process that it's apparently members here wish to see go forward. I see some downsides to it from the point of view of designating land without a proper determination. And I think for those reasons, it would just be better to not have this requirement.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Excuse me, I rise in opposition to this deletion. That one of the reasons that it's in there is, of course, to try and minimize the concern that was expressed earlier, that if a proponent were to come into an area and say he would like to get a license on 100,000 acres in X area, it certainly would behoove him to find out from the commissioner that you're not going to be able to drill on duck ponds or whatever it might be. This obviously is just fictitious, but there would be a preliminary review, just like it talks about, so that at least he knows before going out there he's not going to be able to do as he might be in the Sahara Desert. And then subsequent to that, if after license is granted to the highest bidder, they make a discovery, he can't come back and say, well, you didn't mention anything about duck ponds. It's a preliminary screening that I think is very important.
Further debate? And none. Members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change their vote? Representative Navarre, will the clerk please tally the board?
8 yeas, 32 nays.
And so amendment number 10 has failed to be adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment appearing upon her desk.
Amendment number 11 by Representative Brown, page 3, line 30.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 11.
His objection, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Amendment 11 would reduce the maximum size of one of these concessions from 500,000 to 100,000 acres. It was suggested in testimony during the committee process that 100,000 acres might be a more appropriate sized area. I'm not sure what the best area is. I just know 500,000 is a very, very large area. It's, in fact, about 87 times larger than the current lease size area, the 500,000 is. It's equal to the entire amount of leases that companies are currently eligible to hold in the uplands. So it's quite a large acreage. I think having a smaller acreage size would assist the process in making it possible to do a responsible determination at the time that we're issuing these concessions. And I think it would minimize some of the other problems that we've discussed during the debate on this bill.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in opposition to this reduction of the amount of acreage. That's the entire purpose of this kind of a incentive bill. That in order to attract, the kinds of players that might be willing to come back, we're going to have to offer something large enough that it would be worth their while, because we've got to remember that there is certainly a limited amount of exploration capital worldwide. We're competing with several foreign activities, Latin America not to be excluded, the prior Soviet Union, the Middle East, the East Asia. We're actually just one of many places that this exploration capital might go. So I think it behooves us to compete worldwide with what is offered in other parts of the world, and certainly to continue to reduce the amount of acreage that might be subject to a license, I think would be actually working in a negative direction and probably would not be looked on with favor, and we would lose that potential. So I recommend a no vote.
Representative Davies.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Speaker. You know, in reading the backup for this, there was an awful lot of testimony from medium and small size companies that this would be a better size, and there were a number of different concerns expressed. Among them were the issues of land banking and just the ability for medium-sized companies to compete. And actually, one of those companies was a rather large company. It was BP that suggested that this would be a better limit. So I don't think that the industry is speaking with one voice and calling for this large a chunk to be bid off at any one time. In fact, it seemed to me that it was the other way, that the vast majority of companies supported the smaller number.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think the prior speaker was referring to last year's version, and if he were to check with BP, I think he would find they wholeheartedly support this. As I mentioned, there have been several hearings. There have been a significant amount of work put into this. And I think now that what may have been perceived last year as disagreement among the industry that's likely to utilize this, I think now you'll find unanimity. Another example was that there was an oral outcry. This was obviously not universally approved. Now it's a sealed bid. So there have been several significant changes to the bill from its inception last year at this time. And I think now you will find unanimity among the industry.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment. The representative from District 10, in earlier remarks, ran off a long list of third world countries, and I would submit, using his own words, I think this is the wrong direction, to pretend that we have to prostrate ourselves for the majors just to get them to play in our arena. I think the fact of the matter is that they've done pretty well by Alaska, and I think they'll be here in the future as well. But to the extent that this bill lays it out in a way that is just not in our own long-term best interest, I think is a mistake, and I would urge support of this amendment. Thank you.
Being no further debate, members may proceed to vote. The member failed to vote. Will the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the clerk please tally the board?
10 yeas, 30 nays.
So, amendment number 11 has failed to pass the House. Clerk, please read the next amendment appearing upon her desk.
Amendment number 12 by Representative Brown, page 2, line 26.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 12.
There is objection. You have the floor, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This amendment, the heart of it is the last item where it would add at page 3, line 3, the tide and submerged lands to the area to which this does not apply. And Madam Speaker, I think that the difficulties that exist in evaluating potential conflicts and potential impacts are as critical in the offshore tide and submerged lands as they are anywhere, that it would be in the state's interest not to issue our tide and submerged lands, tie them up under these large licenses in this manner, and that we can continue to lease this type of acreage under competitive leasing more properly. Again, it's just when we are making very large disposals of very large areas without any resources being allocated for that purpose, I question how adequate the job of evaluation can be. And for that reason, I'd ask for your support for Amendment Number 12.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise again in opposition to this amendment. And I would note to the body that a very significant oil production facility is located in what would be excluded under this amendment. The Endicott operation that is being operated by BP in the Beaufort Sea produces in excess of 100,000 barrels a day, and by Prudhoe Bay standards is not much, but by most other activities, 100,000 barrels a day, of which 12,500 of that belongs to the state, I think is very worthwhile, and I think to exclude that from this potential would be a grave mistake. So I urge you to vote no.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I might point out that that was done under concurrent competitive lease processes, and that it doesn't mean that you can't lease these lands. It just means that it's exempt from the large block portion.
Additional debate? Hearing none, members may proceed to vote. If any member fail to vote, would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
11 yeas, 29 nays.
And so, Amendment Number 12 has failed to be adopted. Clerk, please read the next item appeared upon her desk.
Amendment Number 13 by Representative Brown, beginning on page 1, line 1 through page 12, line 7.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move Amendment Number 13.
There is objection. Representative Brown, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I offer this amendment, which would delete the program that's proposed and attempt to address the concerns that are brought forward under our current oil and gas leasing program. If larger blocks of land are needed, and I think when you look at the motivations for this bill, certainly that is one of the main ones, that we could handle that rather than by setting up another process. We could handle it under the existing competitive process by expanding the permissible size of an oil lease. And that's proposed in Section 2 to change it to 20,000 acres as a maximum. And in Section 1 is proposed an increase in the amount that is allowed to be held to accommodate companies that would want to obtain additional acreage in this manner. Madam Speaker, I just, for the reasons, some of which I've talked about during the debate on these amendments, I'm not convinced that our current leasing system is broken to the extent that we need to set up another one that can supplant, and in fact, I think will supplant our current competitive system. I wonder why a company would ever again want to go through the competitive system if they could acquire acreage through the concession system, where the requirements in this bill, depending on how they're exercised, could be very minimal. There's no minimum rent established. The royalty will be minimal. It's a much longer period of time than we currently permit. For all the things that affect the value and the return to the state, I just feel that the cumulative effect of them is that we're giving some very, very, very favorable terms, and that maybe we don't need to go that far. Things may look grim today because the price of oil is low and there's not a lot of exploration money. I would submit to you that one of the main reasons that we see people departing the state has to do with that low price of oil. I think there are many potentially attractive areas in our state that can be leased successfully, as we have in the past, under our existing program, with some changes like the ones proposed in Amendment 13. And I would ask for your support.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise only to oppose this, and I think it's beneath the dignity of this body to now want to completely do away with this bill. But I would want to bring to the body's attention two statements that may have been misinterpreted, where royalty will be minimum. No, there will be a minimum royalty, and there's a significant difference in that, and that there won't be any lease payment. Yes, there will. There is a provision in there to pay money per acre. So with those two corrections, I still suggest that we vote no on this amendment.
Being no further debate, members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change their vote, will the clerk please tally the board?
5 yeas, 35 nays.
And so, amendment number 13 has failed to pass the House. Clerk, please read the next amendment, period upon her desk.
Amendment number 14 by Representative Brown. Beginning page 1, lines 2 and 3.
Representative Brown.
I move amendment 14.
There is objection. Representative Brown, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This amendment would remove a sentence in existing law that says, in unproven areas, the commissioner can offer additional incentives, including a reduction of the royalty to a minimum of 5% in the case of oil and gas. Madam Speaker, we haven't had very many 5% leases in the state's history. There were a couple under the old so-called discovery royalty provision. I don't know how many times or whether, I don't believe recently, this sentence has been exercised. I think in light of the other concessions that we're making, that we ought to ensure that at least we're going to get a 12.5% royalty and not leave in this authority to reduce the royalty as low as 5%. Right, you know, it was stated by the prior speaker that there will be a minimum royalty. I would hope the royalty would not be less than 12.5%. I think we need to take the sentence out to ensure that that is the case. And I would just once again say, you know, it's a lot different in terms of what's normally required. The rental here has a maximum amount. It does not have a floor on it. There is no minimum on it. And that was, I think, misstated just a moment ago. But anyway, on this amendment, the 5% royalty is not warranted, in my opinion, and to ensure that we get a minimum of 12.5%, we need to take this sentence out of the law.
Representative Green.
I'll let you do it. There. Thank you, Madam Speaker. The reason behind this goes back some time when, in the early statehood, when the state had made a discovery at Swanson River, and largely because of that, federal government allowed the territory of Alaska to become a state because it was now fiscally responsible. In order to promote and as an incentive for exploration, the state granted for certain areas royalty reduction. This was in the form of a discovery royalty at 5%, and it was for a discovery of a new structure, not just a new reservoir. This worked well, and there were a couple of cases that were granted a reduction in royalty. Having this in here may in a, I can't even foresee of where, but it may be an area that a discovery royalty of that nature, not for, certainly for the entire, license area, but perhaps to get things started as a prime the pump, so to speak, could be a very, very useful tool. It's by no means mandatory and very likely wouldn't be used, but I think it should be to the commissioner's discretion to use it if, in his best interest and in the best interest of the state, it might lead to a discovery. And so I would urge the body to vote no.
By the debate, Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Oh, you're welcome.
I think that, you know, the purpose of this bill is to encourage exploration. It's not to give away our resources. And I think that this particular clause here allows the commissioner too much discretion at going too low in being able to give away the resources. I think that the large block nature of this thing, the idea that it allows people to get in without a big royalty bid, allows unique concession that is to one particular company that go in and explore over a long period of time. I think that's plenty of incentive in frontier areas. I don't think we also have to give away the value of the resource if it is found. So I think that this is a very, very good amendment, and I hope people will support it.
Additional debate. Hearing none, members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll?